The summer of 1997, it changed my life. Probably forever, I'd say. That summer, I was 17 years old, and I was heading out to camp to be part of a leadership and training program that they were doing. I'd never been to camp before. I hadn't grown up going to camp, and it was only because of a volunteer youth leader that I was even going at all. And so I went out there, and one of the things that happened sometimes when you were an LIT out at camp is you would spend an extra weekend at camp with your leaders and the rest of your team while everybody else, the counselors and the kids, everyone else had gone home for the weekend. And one of these weekends, we had a special speaker coming up from, or coming down, I should say, from Prairie Bible College. And they were going to do some teaching sessions with us. But the camp was in kind of an isolated place down a gravel road, and what had happened is as that person came to speak to us, they had actually got into a car accident and rolled their car and passed away. And so our leaders who had gone to Prairie before and knew this person well, as you can imagine, were quite shaken by this. And so they weren't sure what to do, and so what they recommended we do is that we all just go and take about an hour or so and just go for a prayer walk. Well, I had never even heard of a prayer walk before, so I had no idea what to do. So I said to one of my leaders, like, what am I supposed to do on this, like, prayer walk? They're like, oh, well, you just pray or you read your Bible or you sing some worship songs, things like this. And then you go do this for an hour and then come back. So I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. So here I go, I'm walking around, I'm praying, and I come to the archery shack, and I sit down, and I read my Bible for a little bit, and I'm like, oh man, it's only been like 15 minutes, what in the world am I supposed to do for the next 45 minutes? And so I go, I know, I'll sing some worship songs. So that's what I decide to do, I start singing some different worship songs, and one of the songs that I ended up singing is a song called Arms of Love. And it's not really one we sing too often anymore, but part of it, it says, holding me near and holding me still in your arms of love. That's one of the lines. And in that moment, I can't really, it's hard even now for me to describe, but it's like I felt like there were physical arms around me. And it kind of freaked me out, to be honest. I started looking around like, what's going on? There's no one there. Nobody creepily snuck behind me. And then I realized that it was really the arms of God. And that really God was showing to me in that moment how deeply he really loved me. And it was, in that moment, I was so filled with, like, this indescribable joy and peace, and I just felt secure in the fact that God loved me. And so I went back after the time was over, and I went back, and the female leader of the LIT, her name was Christy, right away she said, what happened to you? She said, you had an experience with God, I can tell just by looking at you. I was like, okay. And she's like, no, like, there's something about you. There's, like, this glow about you. You're, like, just, like, radiant and just so full of joy. You had an experience and an encounter with God, didn't you? So I said, yeah, and I told her about it. She's like, yeah, God wanted you to know just how much he loved you. He loves you. Little did I know that how crucial this would be as I was about to go into a really difficult season of my life with my parents just a few years later, ended up splitting up. And it was that I always would remember when I was in difficult times, I would always remember that moment and how I had experienced the love of God, and I knew that I was secure in his love. Now, why do I tell you this story this morning? Well, I tell it because I believe, although it may not look like my experience did, I believe that God wants us all to experience and know the depths of his love in our lives. Now, that wasn't the end of me experiencing God's love. That was just really the beginning. God has shown me time and time again how much he loves me and how secure I am in that love. And my prayer for all of you, actually, this morning is that you would begin to experience more and more in your life the depths of God's love. And the interesting thing is, that is exactly what Paul, as he writes this to the Ephesians, is saying. He's actually praying in this passage that the people of Ephesus would experience God's love in a real and tangible way. And so let's pick it up in Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start in verses 14 and 15. And it says this. It says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." Now right there, that's significant, because the typical Jewish posture for prayer was to stand. So the fact that he was kneeling, it was actually a passionate plea. He was saying, "I kneel before the Father, and I'm desperately praying for you." He says, "From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Well, what's he praying? He says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." So my first question for those of you that follow Jesus this morning is simply this. Who are you praying for? Who are you praying for that they would experience the power of God's Spirit in their life, that it would change them in their inner being, that they would experience the depths of God's love in their lives? Who are you praying for like this? Who are you on your knees desperately crying out to God that this person in your life that maybe has never experienced God's love before would experience it in this way? Who are you praying for? Paul sets us a great example of praying for people that in our lives that they would experience more and more the power of God's Spirit in their life for transformation and the love of God. Who are you praying for? The second thing is this: the Holy Spirit has the transformative power to strengthen our inner being. Paul wouldn't pray for it if the Holy Spirit didn't have this power. He says, "I pray that the Holy Spirit would transform you in your inner being." And when they referred to the inner being, they were really referring to three main things: reason, conscience, and will. Reason being your mind, your ability to think. And Romans says it, in Romans 8, it says it this way. It says that you would be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you'd begin to think differently. As you begin to experience God's Spirit's moving in your life, that it would change the way that you think about things. It would shift, and that you wouldn't have the same way of thinking about things as maybe your culture does, but you would begin to see things differently. You'd begin to see things through the lens of God's Spirit in your life. And that then begins to affect your conscience, the things that you value, your sense of what is right and what is wrong and what you should and shouldn't do begins to shift as your inner being is transformed. And finally, your will, your desires, your dreams, your passions in life begin to become shaped by God, and you begin to desire His will for your life as the Holy Spirit transforms your inner being. Paul continues and he says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love, that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." God wants us to know Him deeply. This word "know," if you look at it in the Greek, it's like a deeply intimate word. It's to know deeply, to know someone deeply and experience. He wants us to experience the depths of his love. Not just have the head knowledge that God knows us, that God loves us, but to actually experience that. When I think about this, that kind of love has the power to transform. I mean, I even think about it from a human perspective. I think about it from my relationship with Amanda. Amanda, sometimes I feel like she actually knows me better than I know myself. Sometimes she says things and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, I never thought of that, but that's actually really true about me. And because she knows me so deeply, she's had an incredible impact on my life. And God has used her in powerful ways to speak truth into my life that I needed to hear that was transformative. And if Amanda, being human, can have that kind of impact on me because she knows me, how much more God, who knows me, who created me, who knit me together, and knows intimately every detail of me and my life, how much more does he have the ability to speak into my life and transform me? I mean, Amanda is able to speak into my life because I'm secure in knowing that she loves me. How much more, if I'm secure in God's love, does he have the ability to speak into my life in ways that transform me? Here's the other thing I realized and is interesting about this passage. As we experience the transformative power of God's love, our desire for others to experience his love grows. We want others to experience this same kind of love. When we experience the love of God in profound ways, we will want to share it with others. Evangelism doesn't become a chore, doesn't become a box to tick off so that we feel like we're a good Christian. It's something we're compelled to do because we want other people to experience the love of God the way we've experienced it. We can't help but share it. We can't help it. We come alive. The other day I was driving Amanda. She was teaching up at the Heart. She's right now in the education program at UNBC. She's in her final year, and she was doing practicum up in the Heart, and so it was her last day of practicum, and she wanted to give her students a gift of some donuts, just to say thank you and as a last goodbye for being with them. And so she went in to buy these donuts, and I'm sitting there in the car with the boys waiting for her, and in that moment, I just had this overwhelming sense of how much God loved the people in that Tim Hortons. And I just began to pray for those people. And I just began to ask the Lord, would you give me more opportunities to speak about your love in people's lives in the community? Would you give me more opportunities? Well, that week, funny thing is, God answers prayer sometimes. That week, I ended up having a conversation with two people, one in a hockey rink and one in the hardware store. Go figure. But there's something about when we experience God's love and we know how much he loves us, that we just begin to have a heart for people, even people we don't know in random Tim Hortons. We just have this heart for other people because we've experienced this love and we want them to experience that love. We don't want to just keep it to ourselves. God's love, although it's meant to shape and transform your life, it was never meant to just be for you and for yourself. It was always meant to be shared with others. The passage concludes with one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, actually. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Now, this verse, this passage, blows my mind because I have a very vivid, active imagination. So when God says, "I can do more than you ask or imagine," I'm like, for real? That's that's pretty compelling to me. I'm like, I can imagine a lot of amazing things, God. You can do more than that. You can do more than that. That is incredible. You can transform my life even more than I can imagine. And that's the thing, he can. God is able to transform us beyond what we can even imagine. I mean, when I think about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, I mean, don't you just want more of that in your life? Don't you want to be transformed? Like, I don't know about you, but I'm never content. I'm secure in who I am. I'm comfortable in my own skin, but I always want to be transformed more. I always want God to be growing me in the areas of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. I mean, don't you want more of those characteristics in your life? Don't you want to be transformed to have more of that in your life? I do. I'm just never satisfied in any of those areas with who I am. I always want more of that. I always want to look more like Jesus. I always want to have more of the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And God's like, I can do it. And I've seen it. I'm not the same person I was when I was 17 and I had that experience with God. God has grown me in so many areas of my life since then. But the other amazing thing with this whole idea of imagining, and we'll see this more when we get into chapter 4 after Christmas, is that when we've experienced the vast love of Jesus and trust in his power within us, our missional imagination is kindled. Our missional imagination is kindled. We begin to dream up all these ways that we might live on mission with God. We begin to dream out all these different ways that we might reach people in our community that have never experienced the love of Jesus. We begin to imagine what it might look like if we live on mission with Jesus. And this gets me excited. Because there is no end to the things that God can do when we have deeply experienced his love and desire others to also experience that love. There is no end. God can use us powerfully when we have experienced his love and desire others to experience it. It's said that if you want the missional culture in a church to grow, the missional desire in a culture to grow, it starts with increased passion for Jesus. It starts with increased passion for Jesus, because the more passionate we are about Jesus and his love in our lives, the more we desire to share it. And so, with all these things in mind, I want to close by simply leaving you with three questions. And these three questions are this. Number one, again, from the beginning, who are you praying for? Who are you praying for? Who in your life needs to experience God's transformative power in their life and God's love in their life? Who are you praying for? The second thing is, how can you make space in your life to know God more? I know we're all busy people. That's why I didn't say find time. I said make it. Because what could be more important than this? How can you make space in your life to know God more? Because it was in that moment when I was making space for God that he met me in a profound way and I experienced his love. And I believe he wants to do that in all of our lives. It won't look the same as that for you, but I believe he wants to do it in your life. How can you make more space for him? And the third is, how might God be leading you to share his love with others? How might he be trying to engage your missional imagination that you might share God's love with other people in your life? I'm going to pray, and after I pray, God's blessing on you and you'll be dismissed. If you just feel like, I just need to make some space right now in my life to be with Jesus, you're welcome to come and pray on any of these front rows. Just come and sit and pray, and you're welcome to do that. And if you want to, I'll be up here, and maybe some of the staff and elders, if they want to make themselves available, or prayer team from Wednesday morning. If you want to come, and maybe you've never experienced that love, and you want to today for the first time to say yes to that love that Jesus offers, then you feel free to come as well. Let me just pray, and then you're dismissed to go. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much that you love us in such an incredible way, and that we can experience the depths of your love in our lives. And God, I pray for each person here, God, that that you would move powerfully in their life by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that even this week that you would give them an encounter with you, God, that just helps them to realize how deeply you love them. And so I just pray that as each of us, as we begin to experience you, God, I pray that you would also begin to grow in our hearts a desire to share your love with others, a desire that is just this unstoppable desire that we just feel so compelled to share this love with other people as well. And so now we pray and commit all of this to you in Jesus' name.